when it comes to cross-border trade, it is not a very straightforward process. So it requires a certain level of expertise to navigate through. So we understand when it comes to small businesses' realities, you don't always have the resources or time or effort to spend in this area, but it is important to have at least some framework knowledge and high-level understanding of the implications to your business.
Welcome to the B2B Breakthrough Podcast. We're here to bring you all the best knowledge, insights, and strategies from e-commerce experts, successful business owners, and the team at Alibaba.com that you'll need to grow your business and achieve your next big breakthrough. I'm your host, Sharon Guy. Our guest today is Yukun Shao, a trailblazer in the realm of global trade and logistics innovation. With almost 20 years of experience in the industry, Yukun brings a wealth of expertise to his current role as the head of supply chain for Alibaba.com's North American B2B business. His journey from advising multinational corporations at PwC to spearheading strategy and platform-level solutions at Alibaba reflects a deep commitment to empowering businesses worldwide. Passionate about leveraging technology to streamline cross-border e-commerce, Yukun is at the forefront of shaping the future of e-commerce supply chains. Welcome, Yukun.
Thank you, Sharon. It's a pleasure to be here.
If you can just first share a little more about yourself and your current role, the head of supply chain at Alibaba.com sounds like a very intense title. If you could just break that down for us, what does that exactly mean? What is your day-to-day?
I lead the North America supply chain function for Alibaba.com, and we are the online B2B marketplace business for Alibaba Group, where we are focused on connecting business buyers and suppliers around the world, providing them with the tools to empower them in both their global sourcing as well as cross-border fulfillment journeys. About myself, before joining Alibaba in 2020, I was trade and business consultant with PwC for about 15 years. So I had the opportunity to work in different markets in Asia and North America, where we were advising larger, more established enterprise clients in the areas of duty planning, trade compliance, and supply chain structuring. I really enjoyed working there, having the exposure to more senior level executives and with companies that had a lot of resources to deploy and invest. But when the pandemic hit in 2020, I personally saw and read from the news a lot of smaller businesses were struggling, coping with the disruptions created by the pandemic and decline of sales. So I did a lot of research in this area, and that's when also I found Alibaba.com specifically, who emerged, in my view, as a genuine ally to those small to medium-sized businesses and is in a very good position to build and provide the digital infrastructure to help transform those smaller businesses so that they can both increase efficiency and saving costs. And that is one of the key reasons I decided to join Alibaba. And ever since joining for the last 3.5 years, I've been working in a number of different areas in supply chain, from my original background, cross-border trade, customs and duty tariff planning, to more recently, cross-border logistics and shipping solutions, where we are always focused on developing platform-level solutions to help those smaller businesses success. So I'm very excited to be here and share some of our perspective and also some progress in our development of solutions for those customers.
If you can take us back to the year 2020 when you joined, and I remember taking all of us back when the pandemic first started, I read so many different headlines of empty store shelves. I remember reading this headline of there was a shortage on infant formula. So it was in that exact time that you joined Alibaba. What were your first days like? I can't imagine the amount of shortages going on around the world. Did it affect your first 90 days on the job? Did you think that that was going to be what you were stepping into, or were you welcoming that chaos?
Having worked in the supply chain area for quite some time already, we all know that disruption is the constant. I think all of the supply chain professionals are used to that. But having said that, you're right. The impact from the pandemic, especially in the early time, And around the time I joined Alibaba was more significant than any that I have personally witnessed. So it was a lot of chaos, but a lot of putting out the fire here and there. But that's also when I started to learn the beauty of platform or a marketplace business like Alibaba.com, where we can help our customers not only forge their primary business relationships with either a service provider or a product provider from overseas, but also we can help them establish and execute any contingency plans when it is needed. So when your supply chain or product supply have been disrupted by any given reason, because of our vast network of providers and suppliers on our platform, we can really more easily help you find a secondary provider that can tailor to your needs. So my first days at Alibaba, I had to cope with the quote unquote, the new reality at that time. But I think we were in a very good position to leverage the resources we have, as well as the technological capabilities that Alibaba has always been very focused on developing, to not only find the service or products for our customers, but to deliver to them in the most efficient and cost-effective manner.
Were you working with specific businesses as soon as you landed in the role? And if so, can you give some examples of how you helped them solve that problem?
When I first joined, as I mentioned, I was more focused on the cross-border trade area. And even before the pandemic started, there were already a lot of changes in the cross-border trade space. So when I joined, the companies or ecosystem partners I worked with were more focused on providing customs or import-export services for smaller businesses, such as the more traditional customs brokers, but also what we call a smart custom solutions.
If we can just break that down a bit for a new person that's stepping into the logistics or supply chain space, there's a lot of brokers that we know. There's also a lot of freight forwarders in this space. And then there's the supplier or factory side, and then there's the end customer. Are there other players in this supply chain, or is that the main three characters?
Yes, I think you've covered most of it. Apparently, the other very important stakeholder or participant in this process include regulators. So the government customs authorities that are supervising as well as enforcing cross-border rules and restrictions are certainly the party that cannot be neglected. And to provide a little bit of context, in my experience, even before the pandemic hit, we have seen the global trade environment changed quite a bit from the past few decades. On the regulatory side, we have seen growing complexity in countries' import-export rules, trade preference regimes, and post-import audit activities. All of those combined to make any cross-border trade compliance obligations more burdensome for companies. And also there was certainly, as everyone knows, an increased focus on national border security issues, posting a greater demand for internal control and risk management procedures. So in response to that, we have seen on the trade community side, there is growing need for more transparent landed costs amid the increased competition in the global marketplace, as well as the pricing pressure created by, in recent times, more inflationary pressures. So that's also something very noteworthy. And because of the pandemic, we have also seen another trend in trade, which is that there is a growing demand for products that require specific regulations, such as PPEs or personal protective equipment, that are subject to additional government or import requirements. So that also makes it more complicated for importers and exporters. So all of that was the landscape in the cross-border trade space. So we at Alibaba are trying to help our customers have framework knowledge and high-level understanding of all of the complexities and implications from cross-border trade to their businesses. Again, we are not suggesting that they should become experts in this area.
It's very hard to become an expert with all the changing rules and regulations all the time.
Yes, but they need to know what are some areas that could create some threshold issues for their business. And when they are hiring third-party service provider, it's also important to be able to measure their performance afterwards. So I think that's the reason and the driving force under our initiatives to help those customers be better equipped to import-export more smoothly.
So if I'm trying to import something into the U.S. for the first time, what would I be checking to make sure that the product that I am importing is affirming to all the current regulations that the U.S. has?
In my experience, the U.S. has the best system and most transparent system when it comes to cross-border laws and regulations. So almost all of the requirements and regulations, you can look them up from either a government website, or there are a lot of knowledge hubs online that you can take advantage of. A number of areas that you need to pay the most attention to include import-export admissibility, whether your product is prohibited or restricted for import or export. Especially in the US, there is very strict export control regimes. So companies certainly need to look into that area. But also, recent trend stipulates that the duty implications is also becoming very important, or sometimes very critical, for companies to make a business decision. That again started from before the pandemic, back in 2018, when the United States decided to impose additional tariffs imports originated from certain countries or in specific product categories, whereas in the past, overall, the U.S. average duty rate may be under 4%. When you add on that additional tariff, it could easily go to another 25% of additional tariffs, which then makes it a very high cost element that eats into a company's financial bottom lines. So that is something that a company really need to look into as well. And another area I would like to mention is also country of origin. A lot of the duties initiatives are driven by where the product or the imported goods are originated from. So a lot of companies, even though one product may be exported from a certain country, it may not be considered to be originating from that country when you look into the customs rules in determining the country of origin. And that, again, can have more significant impact these days because of the duty implications. So those are all areas that companies need to pay close attention to. In addition to looking for information online, it is recommended that you consult with professional service providers such as a customs broker or someone engaged by your freight forwarder or shipping provider to validate what they are declaring your products under.
So I have also been personally advertised by so many different freight forwarders, brokers, and they sort of all give me the same pitch, and that they're very knowledgeable, they've done this for many years, great customer service. It always sounds to me that there's no large differentiator between broker and broker. Is there a way for a brand owner to evaluate certain brokers to see which ones are actually better versus others? Or is it more of a word of mouth recommendation?
Word of mouth is certainly useful, but I wouldn't say it's the most important factor to consider. And it really comes down to a detailed evaluation of your imported products and import scenario, because some providers or professional service firms are better or more qualified, as well as more experienced in declaring or clearing customs for certain categories of products, which, as I mentioned earlier, may come with additional import requirements. But overall, more holistically, when you are evaluating a customs broker, you would look into, first of all, whether they are licensed customs broker by the U.S. Customs Authority. Secondly, their scope of business, what types of imports or exports that they have the qualification to deal with the customs matters for their clients in front of the customs authority, experience level. So if for each industry, certain customs brokers or freight forwarders may be more experienced in certain industries or types of products than others. So that's certainly an area to evaluate when, especially if your product are not so common or sometimes entails special requirements for import-export purposes, you would want to look into the track record of the service provider in that specific area. And last but not the least, you would need to look into any specific cases or customer stories. That comes back to your word of mouth point, where you can gather real life examples of their past record in order to decide whether it's the right service provider for you. But after all of these considerations, even after you have decided to engage a certain service provider to do that, it is still important to go back and review the performances of the provider in order to have full visibility and to understand whether they are acting towards your expectation, or if not, you should still consider alternatives.
Is it recommended to have a couple of freight forwarders to work with instead of one, or maybe even doing an experiment or a test to say, in the first quarter, we're testing this first batch with this one, the second quarter, we're testing it with another one? What type of strategies can procurement teams use when it comes to dealing with brokers?
Yes, I think that's certainly a wise thing to do, or at least to consider. We are aware that especially smaller businesses, they would like to outsource their logistics activities to logistics provider. But after the pandemic started, I have personally seen that the supply chain professionals have been discussing more and more about resilience. Instead of in the past, companies may be most focused on cost saving, on the low cost solutions that they can get. But because of all of the disruptions being created by the pandemic, and nowadays still a lot of factors are creating new disruptions in the supply chain, I think there was a very clear focus to building resilient supply chain. And in that sense, it is probably not a good idea or the best idea to rely solely on one service provider. So even though you may have one long-term standing relationship with a trusted provider you have been working with for many years, it is still recommended that you can find a backup option, just like you would do with product supplies, in the same sense that if something happens to your main service route or the capacity that you are not able to get from your primary service provider, you always have fallback option at hand. And actually, I'll introduce later, our logistics marketplace is a tool to help our customers achieve that goal to more efficiently identify logistics and service providers that can meet their specific needs. So back to your question, I would certainly say that it is important to have both a primary and secondary relationships with more than one service providers in that sense.
I've also heard resilience being spoken a lot, especially during the pandemic when there was a lot of shortages. And then I think also what happened during the pandemic is the huge fluctuation of freight costs. So in terms of shipping routes, is that also something that brand owners should be concerned about and keeping a pulse on?
You're absolutely right. We have seen a lot of volatility in the freight space in terms of both air and ocean shipping in the past few years. And that's yet another reason that companies should be looking at different service providers and the options they are able to get. Route optimization is something more and more being adapted by businesses, large or small, mainly driven by disruptions that are sometimes not anticipated, but because of the negative experience or impact that a lot of businesses have experienced in the past few years, they are thinking more about the shipping options that they have, both from a route perspective as well as from a method of shipping perspective. So sometimes, like you mentioned, when the ocean container price was very high during the pandemic, we have also seen a lot of shippers switch to air transportation with still a relatively higher price, but that can afford them greater flexibility and timeliness in their delivery timeframe. Back to the resilience point of argument, it is important to stay agile. I think that probably is a word you also hear a lot in the modern supply chain space, that companies should stay flexible in their shipping options and route selections so that they can withstand any potential disruptions and try to get the most desired service at their desired pricing point.
Is there any type of technology or software that can be used to manage all of this, or is this more of an offering? that's an extension from Alibaba.com?
There are a lot of technological solutions out in the market, but I would like to, from an Alibaba.com perspective, to give a little context. A lot of our customers, even though they are business customers, they are tend to be small to medium-sized businesses. And a lot of those even are owner-operated businesses. So in our experience, they don't necessarily have a lot of resources to deploy in order to invest in technological advancements or solutions on their own, even though they are very keenly aware and following the development in this space. And that's the reason why we at Alibaba, in order to better serve these customers, we are developing or investing heavily in the technological solutions that can empower our customers. To give you one example on this point, we have rolled out our Alibaba.com logistics marketplace mid last year, which enables our businesses, customers to effortlessly identify the logistics service providers and solutions that they are looking for on our platform. And in addition to finding the provider, they can also place an order for logistics services on our platform, as well as managing these logistics orders throughout their shipping journey on our platform. And also they can access 24/7 our live customer support provided by our platform team in order to have that peace of mind when they are shipping with Alibaba.com logistics. So I think that is just one example of us investing the technology to make life easier for our smaller business customers.
Is that platform free to use for current members?
Yes, it is an online marketplace tool. You can imagine it just as a marketplace for products. We are also a marketplace for freight services. So anyone on Alibaba.com can come and use that tool to look for specific service options. And I would also mention that currently we have close to 400 service providers or logistics service providers already onboarded on this marketplace. So our customers can be rest assured that by typing in their shipment requirements or dimensions, they can very easily find solutions provided by numerous pre-vetted suppliers on our platform.
What do you think are some of the most common errors that businesses make when looking at supply chain logistics?
A lot of our customers use Alibaba.com to expand to new markets or to look for sourcing options from overseas. And when it comes to global expansion, there are some strategic mistakes that they could make. And that may include not being able to anticipate or mitigate the risks that are associated with local market. So a lot of the companies may presume that the environment may be the same as their home market and therefore fail to identify, assess, or prioritize any areas of vulnerability or uncertainty in new markets. In that case, they may neglect the differences in the business environment, in the culture, and the norms in the new market that they're looking to expand to. Also, it's important to mention again that companies sometimes may ignore the legal and regulatory difficulties across different countries, including trade agreement measures, import-export requirements, product-level regulations, and tax implications, things like that. So in order to facilitate cross-border transaction most efficiently, they really need to be aware of those issues in order to increase their competitiveness and profitability in those new markets.
As a good segue for the cultural misunderstandings, because you mentioned culture, sometimes we can be a little what I would call ethnocentric. So thinking that your culture is also evident in other countries. You yourself, you've worked all around the world and in very different types of companies, both PwC, a quite westernized company, and also Alibaba, a more Chinese company. Has there been any cultural misunderstandings as you've navigated your career in these two different places?
Like you mentioned, I had the privilege to work in different markets, including China, Japan, and the United States. And I think one of the most notable or differences I have experienced myself is really comes to the communication styles between maybe Japan and the United States. I think really the different values, norms, and communication styles can all cause misunderstandings and even sometimes conflicts between countries. So when it comes to the communication style between Japan and the United States, my personal experience is that in Japan, the style is more indirect, more context-based, and they also focus a lot on harmony of the discussion. Whereas in the American communication style, it is much more direct or explicit in some ways, and they emphasize on clarity and individual expression. So I have one example. When I was a business consultant at PwC, we used to work on many different merger acquisition projects. And I was involved in quite a few of those partnership or acquisition negotiations. And one of that happened between a Japanese team and an American team. What I noticed is that the two teams, while they're negotiating a business partnership, the conversation didn't seem to go anywhere because the Japanese team seemed to be hesitating to explain themselves or express any disagreements or concerns in order not to disrupt the harmony of the conversation. But that was viewed by the American team as a bit evasive or lack of interest. So that is really created by some cultural differences in their communication styles. And in order to help bridge that gap, we had to work with both teams in a way convincing the US team to interpret and create a more inclusive environment for that conversation, for the Japanese team to be more comfortable. So through this open communication and mutual respect, and after all, there is a willingness on both sides to adapt and to achieve a successful deal, they were able to overcome the cultural differences and establish a successful business relationship.
So that's the comparison between Japanese and American. Do you find that Chinese and American is running a similar type of digression, or are they closer to each other?
I think it's both. A little similar, but it's not as distant as the Japanese culture is when it comes to communication. The gap is still there, but it's smaller in my experience between China and the US.
Do you go to Hangzhou often?
Not as often as I've hoped for, but a lot of our Chinese leaders came to the United States and they were very active in visiting both our customers as well as ecosystem partners to explore ways of collaboration and to really listen to our customers' pain points, because any solution we develop here is aimed at tackle a specific pain points for our customers. So our team here in the US are constantly seeking feedback from our customers and acting upon that. But it's the same. Our Chinese leaders take the same as their mandate to come here often and to interact with our customers and partners very frequently.
Any lasting words of advice or guiding principles for business owners to keep in mind as they navigate the complexities of cross-border trade?
When it comes to cross-border trade, it is not a very straightforward process. So it requires a certain level of expertise to navigate through. So we understand when it comes to small businesses realities, you don't always have the resources or time or effort to spend in this area. But it is important to have at least some framework knowledge and high level understanding of the implications to your business, even though you may be using a third party to help you with that process. A few things I would quickly point out in that sense is that even though you are hiring a third party to act on your behalf, from a customs authority's perspective, you are still the importer of record in many cases, which means you are to burden the legal responsibilities and obligations for compliance when it comes to your import activities. You have responsibility or liabilities in the worst case for that. So that's one reason you need to pay more attention to it. And also, cross-border trade is a process that requires a lot of collaboration between different parties. So you have to be an active contributor or participant in that process to provide the most accurate information to a service provider or to your business partner in order for them to effect the correct import-export declaration for you. So that's also very important for you to be part of that process.
Are there any online resources, websites, blogs that we should subscribe to keep up to date with things that are happening in this space?
Yes, but from my position, I would recommend that you subscribe to our Alibaba.com Reads. So that's a blog site that we have been publishing a lot of, you know, contents for the logistics as well as the trade space. So on a weekly basis, we have logistics market updates, but we also have almost on a weekly basis, one new insight article per week, which dives into the nitty-gritties of cross-border shipping, customs and trade, and other supply chain areas. And that's also a service you can subscribe from Alibaba.com. And we believe it's a great resource for customers with different experience levels.
Thanks so much for sharing that. We hope you found our discussion on logistics insightful and valuable. If you're hungry for more tips and strategies to navigate the complex world of logistics, be sure to tune in next week. We'll be hosting a follow-up episode featuring Ikun, where he'll be diving into practical tools and strategies designed specifically for users of Alibaba.com. Be sure to tune in next week. B2B Breakthrough is produced by Alibaba.com. To find out how Alibaba.com is empowering its customers with the tools, services, and resources they need to grow their businesses, visit Alibaba.com. And then make sure to search for B2B Breakthrough Podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you find your podcasts. Make sure to follow us so you don't miss future episodes. On behalf of the team here at Alibaba.com, thanks for listening.